Hello. You are listening to the Carol Connection. With your host, Jared Carol.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Carol Connection, here to bring you guys another great episode. If you didn't check out last week's episode with Ryan Vincente, episode 21, that was a great episode. We talked a lot about health and diet specifically, and he talked about what he did currently, and it was a lot of great stuff. We talked about sports too. If you haven't checked that out, thecarolconnection.simplecast.com or Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all that great stuff. So today, I'm bringing you guys a double episode with two people. Love these type of episodes. These are like one of my favorite type of episodes. Just get two perspectives at the same time, including mine. So I'll bring in my guests, Ankit Kotwal and Isaac Elkery.
Hey, what's going on, Jared?
How you doing, mate?
What's up? How you doing?
Can't hear you, Isaac. You got to put the mic closer to you.
What's up? How we doing?
We're doing good. So, Ankit, I guess you'll start. So you can kind of tell everyone what you've been up to and what you do currently.
Yeah. All right, so I am a software consultant at a startup in Chicago, and I've been working there for the past 6 months. So I actually moved out to Chicago in January and was working there for a few months until COVID hit, and now I've been just working from home and, you know, just trying to chill. That's pretty much it.
Nice. Isaac?
What's up, Jared? How you doing?
Doing good, man. Doing good.
So what I do right now, I'm a student at UMass Dartmouth. And I'm a junior. I'm studying business marketing. I work part-time at the smoke shop. It's 2 minutes away. It's a Fairhaven smoke shop. So I would go over there, you know, save some money up.
Yeah.
I was playing football, but I hurt my back. So, you know, I got to start getting, like, my life together and stuff.
That college experience right there.
Yeah, I got to put it to the side. Start worrying about, like, what I like, you know. And it's, like, different, too, because I played sports my whole life, you know. So now I'm not playing sports. It's like, I got to figure out what I'm good at,
you know,
other than sports. So
it's a challenging thing, especially being in college and trying to figure out, like, balancing college sports specifically. I didn't do that. So, like, props to you, because that's a lot of fucking work. People don't understand that. It's like a fucking job.
No, 100%. Like, 100%.
So much time and effort between training and actually playing, too. Plus, college itself is fucking overwhelming for so many people. Mm-hmm. Like, it's intense. It's very intense. Like, so I give you a lot of credit for balancing that and working through that. And
thank you.
I hope as you go through the rest of your college career that you figure out, I mean, you're not going to 100% know going through these times. I mean, shit, I didn't fucking know I was going to be where I'm at right now. And like, I started off school criminal justice major and I switched to business. Like, so like, damn. You never know where life's going to take you. So like, being open to go with the flow, but being also understanding that you need to do your research, you need like study and try hard in school, because that shit does matter. I mean, high school maybe not as much back then, and things kind of just were what they were. But like, now looking at it, you're paying for it. Like, school is not honestly cheap.
It's
like
a joke.
Yeah, it's not a joke anymore, and like, it's definitely a difficult thing. So I wanted to transition to talking about you guys, your nationalities, and I think Ankit will start it off and talk about some of the things that relate to his family and kind of give us an insight in that.
Yeah, sure thing, Jared. So I'm Indian, 100% Indian. Both parents are Indian. So, you know, Indian culture has always been a big, you know, part of my life, and, you know, kind of it's definitely influenced how I was raised. And so, you know, all of the major Indian holidays like Diwali or Holi, you know, all of those things my family tried to, you know, keep into the family, even though we were, you know, all the way here in the U.S., you know, so far away from 99% of our family. And, you know, it was definitely tough because, you know, growing up as a kid who was, you know, didn't look like, you know, the other kids in my class, or, you know, didn't have kind of the same kind of cultural upbringing. It was definitely like challenging. And Isaac can talk a little bit more on this in a little bit, but you know, just growing up in that kind of environment where, you know, so the thing is, you know, from an early age, you know, I realized very quickly that I was different from other people in terms of, you know, I mean, just even like kind of the food or like the clothes I would wear, and like I'd say like kindergarten or first grade is like when I hit that like reality that like, oh man, like I gotta like acclimate, you gotta be like the, you know, the rest of the people in this class, you know, to kind of, you know, keep up with what everyone's doing and not kind of stand out. Yeah, exactly. Adapt. Exactly. And so, yeah, that was tough. Like, you know, but I think slowly I kind of got the gist of, you know, how to, you know, acclimate, as Isaac kind of alluded to there.
Did you feel social pressure as, like, you were going through school to, like, to quote, normalize to American culture?
Yeah. I mean, I was, like, super young. I'd say I was, like, maybe, like, 7 or 8 years old when it started kicking in. Like,
how did some of the kids treat you? Was it different? Did you notice it being different?
Oh, yeah, for sure. we got a lot of names growing up. What was one of the funny ones? Well, we got a lot of shit for like eating with our hands. So that's like that's a big thing in, like, Indian culture. Like, you eat with your hands.
I eat with my hands. I don't know what the fuck's wrong with people.
I mean, I didn't do that at school, but like people would be like, "Yo, like, you eat with your hands, bro. Like don't you fucking shit in your hands?" Like, I was like, "What, bro?" Like, so like I'd get like dumb stuff like that, and like I mean, honestly, I feel like that was, like, good, because, like, from an early age, I learned how to deal with all that bullshit. Mm. And, like, that's, like, kind of shaped me, like, to become, like, the person I am right now. Like, facts. I can deal with, like, any type of adversity, because, like, I mean, I dealt with, like, a lot of bullshit in, like, second grade. Like,
That's a lot to deal with growing up. Like,
yeah.
That's a lot of shit. And, like, Isaac can go next, but, like, I'm just saying, like, yeah. That's so crazy to hear about, because, like, obviously, like, I'm white, and, like, I'm Irish, Portuguese, and, like, and it's so weird to, like, hear that perspective, and, like, it's, like, you don't think about it, because I never felt like I was trying to do that to other people or say things like that to other people.
Yeah,
and, like,
no, I mean, it definitely wasn't everyone, but, like, I mean, there's definitely, like, a subset of people who were like that, you know? You know, you try to explain your culture, you try to explain, like, you know, we don't eat, like, so I'm a Hindu, so, like, you try to explain, like, you don't eat beef, and people are like, "What? Like, you don't eat beef?" Like, then they try to, like, force beef on you, and it's, like, I mean, it's all, like, fun and, like, whatever when you're 8 years old, but, like, you know. I mean, just having to, like, deal with all that and trying to explain to people, you know, that, you know, you have this kind of different way of living. And, you know, like, my parents, like, they moved here, oh, man, I'd say, like, 26 years ago. Like, I mean, this was like a foreign land to them. I mean, they'd grown up their entire life in India. And, you know, my dad just got a job offer and, you know, Seekonk Mass, and that's why I'm here, basically. That's very similar to a lot of immigrant stories that you'll hear. And, you know, he made the decision that it was the best interest in his family to move out here and to start a family in America, and that's kind of how we ended up here. But, you know, at the same time, I mean, I don't know if he understood it at the time, but, you know, just he probably had a sense of, you know, like, you know, we're going to move out here, but there's definitely going to be some challenges in terms of acclimating, in terms of, you know, in terms of our kids. Like, you know, like, obviously he wanted to move out. My parents wanted to move out here to give, you know, me and Isaac's going to talk about the same thing with his parents, like, moving out here to give him a better life. But, you know, there's definitely challenges in terms of, you know, cultural upbringing and stuff like that. So, you know, I mean, the sacrifice that they made, like, I'll never, you know, take that for granted, you know. And, yeah, I mean, I guess that's, like, part of the reason why, like, I'm not, like, hesitant to, like, travel and, like, work in other cities. Like, last summer, you know, I was working in New York. Like, I got a job offer for, like, finance at a company called Goldman Sachs. And I was working there, and, you know, like, you know, other people might, like, stop and, like, hesitate, like, "Oh, like, I gotta, like, drop my life and, like, go work in another city." But, like, for me, it was, like, my parents moved from, like a continent, like, all the way, or a country all the way across the world, all the way here. Like, for me to just move, like, a few hours away, like, that's nothing, right?
Mm. It's a big step, though. I'm glad that you took that, yeah, too. I mean, for me, just moving to Texas and Georgia, like, that was such a huge step, like, because, I mean,
for real,
my parents have always lived in Rhode Island and the Mass area, so, like, it was never really instilled on me to pick up my bags and just move. Yeah. And I think that's crucial for a lot of people to do, and, like, It's cool that you've seen that your parents made that sacrifice to do that, and that you've done that yourself to move on and challenge yourself in these new locations. I think a lot of people don't do that.
Yeah, I mean, I think we were balling at Agawam like 2 years ago. So Agawam's this basketball court that we play at in East Providence, Rhode Island. And we were balling at Agawam, and you were like telling me about like, oh, like how you moved to like Texas. You went to Georgia too, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I don't hear about that stuff like from people around here. Like people just like, people like, I mean, it's not a bad thing, but people stay like in Seekonk, or they'll, you know, maybe go to Boston, or like they'll stay in this region. But like when I heard like you, like, you know, you took a risk, you like went out, you like explored, you know, went to different states and kind of like found like who you really are, like I respected the hell out of that. And at that time, like, I was like a sophomore in college, so like obviously I didn't have any of those opportunities, but like in the back of my mind it was like, if I get any of those opportunities to work elsewhere, like I'm taking it. Like,
facts.
If, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to hesitate just because it's like a few hours away from like where I live.
It's like, worth it. Like,
it's so worth it.
Like like I say on a lot of my episodes, is comfort zones. It's taking yourself out of those comfort zones. And I'll allow Isaac to talk about this, cuz I want to also talk about some stuff after the fact. And you can go to the bathroom. Go ahead. So like we'll talk, me and Anki will talk.
Yeah.
But basically, getting out of your comfort zone, man. Like, I think a lot of people don't get out of their comfort zone. And they'll stay in their spot. And a lot of people in this area stay in their spot. And, like, it's fucking frustrating. It's like, there's so much world. And so, not even so much world, even that. Just there's so much country. The USA is fucking beautiful country. Yes, a lot of things are sometimes not the greatest here. But, like, we live in a great country with a lot of freedoms. And the country itself is beautiful. Like, there's so many beautiful state parks and mountains and all this shit that needs to be explored. And, like, by putting yourself in a whole different culture changes your perspective on everything, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, I think one of the reasons why maybe it's a little bit easier for me, too, is because, you know, like, outside of my immediate family, I don't really have, you know, any other family that, like, you know, that'd be like around me. Like, I know, you know, I've got friends who've got like their entire like cousins and like aunts, uncles, grandparents, like entire like, you know, generations of their family have been rooted in this part of Southeast Massachusetts. And like for them, the decision to just drop everything and leave is a little bit, you know, a little bit more strenuous than it is for maybe me or Isaac. But like at the same time, like, I would encourage, like, you know, if you're in your 20s, like I'm 22, like Isaac's 21, like if you're like our age and like you have a, you know, you have a thirst for like looking out and like exploring stuff, like go travel now.
Yeah.
Because in 10 years, like, who knows what you're going to be doing? Like, you could be married with kids, you could be tied down to like a job that like requires you to be in a certain location. Like, now is like the time where you're flexible, like you have the opportunity to go out and do stuff. It doesn't even have to be you like living elsewhere. Just go on a road trip. Like, one of the things that I'm trying to plan out, so I was planning out a trip to Southeast Asia. I was going to go to Thailand actually this month before COVID hit. But now I'm like trying to plan out a trip to like the West Coast, like a road trip.
Hell yeah.
You know, it's just, I mean, I don't know. Like, I think part of it is like my cultural upbringing. Like, part of it is like the people I was around. You know, I think a combination of those things kind of like led me to like where I'm at right now, like the position I'm at, in terms of like, I don't have like a set like 5 or 10 year plan like people have. Like, I have like a rough idea, but it's not like I have to be in this position, in this city, in this country in 5 years. Like, I don't have that. Like, for me, it's like I have like a loose idea of like what I want to be, but like a lot of it is like flexible. A lot of it is like open to change and to, you know, whatever kind of, you know, transpires around me. So
That's really well said. Let's let Isaac talk about your nationality and kind of your upbringing.
Oh, God. that's gonna be tough. All right, well, first thing first, I'm gonna say, before everything, is that through all this that we're talking about right now, is that I respect the hell out of my dad. Like, the older and older I get, I respect my dad like so much more than I ever did before, and it's crazy, you know.
Let me give you a little tip for this. Just speak right into the microphone. You don't even have to look at me. Don't feel like you have to look at me.
Oh, okay.
What's sounds up? Way better
tip. what's up?
What do you mean?
Yeah.
All right, so what I gotta say? So Lebanese American, or actually, no, you know what? It's the other way. I'm 100% Lebanese, but you know, I people would classify me as like American Lebanese because I don't look like an Arab.
You have the blue eyes.
Yeah, you get the blue eyes.
You know, everyone always says you have the most like prettiest eyes, dude. Like,
we're doing okay. You know what I'm saying? We're doing all right.
I mean, when I saw Isaac, I knew he wasn't like. White.
I'm like, my friends always mess with me. They're like, I'm like an undercover white boy, you know, because I don't look Lebanese. That doesn't look like, you know, any type of Arab, but I'm 100% Lebanese. I grew up learning all the traditions, you know, learning all that, but, you know.
How was it growing up Lebanese? Like Anke was talking about going to school. Like, did you notice that like, kids would treat you different?
Oh, yeah, 100%. You know what's funny, too, about that? Like, the friends that made fun of me when I was like really young in grade. Now I'm like boys with them. Like they're all like my best friends now, you know, it's crazy. But what I learned is like a young age too, like I remember when I was in Martin school, not in Martin school. I was in Aiken school,
first grade, second grade.
And it was everything was good, you know, everything was cool over there. Like no one really made fun of me. I did have an accent like growing up because I learned Arabic first and then I learned English.
I remember that.
So I could speak Arabic, but I understand it better, but I can still speak it. You know, I can have a conversation with anybody or, you know, just like a normal convo, nothing crazy. But growing up, I remember when I went to, when they switched me over, when that whole big thing happened from North School where they sent the kids.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I went from Aiken and they switched me to Martin. And I remember in second grade, like everyone thought I was like a foreigner or something. You know what I'm saying? Like all my buddies now, like they would make fun of me, you know what I'm saying? Because I had like an accent. I remember the teacher one time, like, she mispronounced my name wrong or something. And my dad's so extra. Like, he's just like a straight 100% like Arab man, like 5'5", a little chubby, but he's real. You know what I'm saying? He's honest. He's a good man. And he would come in and he would fight with the teacher because she was like mispronouncing my name. It was, I don't know, a bunch of BS, but definitely growing up like from a different culture, it like changes your perspective about like a lot of things.
Yeah, definitely. Like Anke was talking about too, it's just like you get a lot of different like perspectives too. Like I respect the fucking hell out of you guys like for going through what you have gone through too. Like obviously we live in a great town for the most part, like there's not a lot of issues like that, but right. Like to go through that experience at such a young age definitely shapes you into the person who you guys are today.
And one thing, so I mean Isaac and I have talked about kind of our experiences, but the common thread between me and Isaac was that, you know, sports is like was a massive equalizer in terms of like being able to like adjust into like this new world and like being able to meet new friends and being able to like be accepted. Like we played sports basically since like first or second grade. I think my first sport was soccer, but my first love was basketball. And, you know, I just used to play basketball in the neighborhood with like Isaac and Dom Lopo and Kyle Simcock and all those kids in our neighborhood. And, you know, just being able to kind of, you know, have this almost like a common language, right? Like sports is kind of, it's definitely a language, it's a religion, like it's just the ultimate equalizer. And it just puts people together. Like, you know, like people don't really see in terms of like color or like religion anymore. It's just, you're just playing a game of basketball, right? And like that was like the ultimate thing for me, like growing up, because, you know, because my upbringing was so different, but like I could talk to people about like the NBA. I could talk to about, you know, people about, you know, like back at that time the Spurs and Lakers were like really good. We could talk about like basketball and like how Tim Duncan or Kobe Bryant was doing, you know what I mean? And like I could speak kind of their language in a way, and there was no like, oh, like he's different, or like, oh, he eats different foods or different, like he follows a different God. Like it wasn't anything like that, because we were talking about something that everyone could relate to. So like being able to follow sports, being able to play sports, I'd say like 80% of my friends that I have now, I met them through like sports.
Same thing.
And you know, I know you can relate to that, because it doesn't, the great thing about it is that it doesn't matter about like who you are, like in terms of like race or religion. Like sports like helps everybody.
It transcends everything. Like, exactly. Race, all exactly. That stuff. Like it doesn't matter. We're a team, we're here for all the same goal.
Yeah.
And if people could just apply that, that's why I love sports.
Yeah.
Because sports teaches you those values that sometimes schools and sometimes parents fail to teach you.
Yeah,
and 100%. I think that's a huge thing. I mean, I met both you guys by playing sports. Like that's right there. Yeah. I mean, sports transcends everything, man. Everything.
100%.
Like for me, because obviously met you through football too, and like I don't know, you could. I know we talked about it the other day. I mean, you want to share that first story? I ever, like when I first met you.
This is the first time. This is the first time I met Jared. I remember we were. I think it was like eighth grade freshman year. Like it was that transition into freshman year, right? You know, for football, you meet everybody in the summer. You know, you meet the seniors, all that. I remember Alan Smith, right?
Brendan Smith's dad.
Yeah, we're in eighth grade, and he brings me, sorry, I'm going to show you guys your senior captain. Oh, shit. Like, I got to meet this guy right now. I'm like a small, dinky eighth grader Arab kid. You know what I'm saying? I'm like the oldest one in my family. Making a name for myself, like, I got to figure, you know, I got to put the family on top. So I walk up to Jared. Like, our whole group walks up to Jared, and he looks at us. He goes, Alan goes, all right, Jared, this is your new freshman class coming in. And he looks at us, he goes, oh, so you guys are my new bitches, huh? I'm like, so this is what high school is, huh? I'm like,
all right. I promise you guys, right. I am not like that anymore. Like, me in high school was a totally different person.
Yeah, hold on. Yeah, I mean, that might have been, like, in that moment. But, I mean, I remember Jared would, like, you know, he'd nod at me in the hallway. He'd say, what up, say how I was doing kind of thing. And even, like, when we went to, like, Agawam to ball up, like, you know, he'd always, like, come by, like, dap us up, like, ask us how we're doing, like, what's going on with us in life, like, super down to earth. And that's something that, like, I can really relate to because, you know, I always try to do the same thing. So, I always try to kind of reciprocate in that manner. But yeah, Jared, that's not a indicative kind of, that's not who Jared is, that's just Jared kind of personifying the senior captain stereotype that he had to kind of, you know, fill into.
Honestly, when you told me that the other day, I was like, damn, did I really do that? That was so funny, man. But like, sports in general, like, I got so many fucking valuable lessons from playing football specifically. 100%. Like, I played more pickup basketball. I'm not the most tallest fucking person, clearly. Like, but football was one of those things where, like, it doesn't matter how fucking big you are. It matters how hard you fucking work. And that translates to life. Yeah. Like, if you can't show up with your fucking tool bucket, whatever fucking belt, you can't show up and you can't come to work.
Exactly.
You're going to fail. Honestly. You have to show up. Like, that's what I love about football. You got to show up every fucking day. Every fucking day, someone's knocking on your door. Someone's trying to take your job. Someone's trying to take your position. Like, and you learn that in life. And I learned that, especially, like, my junior year, where I learned a lot about losing.
Yeah.
Losing is so important to, like, self-growth. If you don't know how to lose, then, like, you're never going to learn how to win.
Yep.
Like, failure is so important. Like, I failed at a fucking lot of things in my life. Like, this podcast where I'll fuck up and say some stupid shit, or sometimes I think the podcast isn't good, or like,
you gotta learn though.
You live and you learn. Yep. You have to try. You gotta really try to do things. Yeah. And like, talk to me a little bit about the values that you picked up, Isaac, from being Lebanese that differed from like American values that you've seen in your friends.
So definitely how like I present myself, how I'm like around different people, you know. I'm more like a quiet person, you know, in general. But if someone talks to me, I can have like a social conversation with them. Like, everything would be normal, you know, like just a normal conversation. But I'm not the type of person to go out of my way usually and go, you know, interact with somebody or go out of my way and say, hey, what's up? But I was like kind of raised to be only speak if spoken to, you know what I'm saying? Like around older people too, especially. I was always around like my family, like, I can't even speak English. Because
Arabic.
Yeah. You know what I hate too? I always mess with people. They're always like, oh, like, you're stuttering or whatever. I'm like, all right, you speak another language? Like, no, you know. So, like, don't come on my neck right now. I'm, like, mixing up English and Arabic together. But you learn a lot of values. It makes, I don't know, like, my family growing up, I was, like, disciplined in a different way from a lot of my other friends, you know? And it's crazy too, because I grew up in a really, really diverse neighborhood too. Like my first group of friends, it was crazy.
Tell me about that.
So growing up in first, second grade, I honestly had like I didn't have like a lot of friends at all because I was like that foreign kid, you know, like didn't speak that well English. I could speak English perfectly fine though, but I had like a little accent to it because I was still like transitioning from. I was always at home speaking Arabic with my family, and then now I'm coming to.
That's a hard transition. Yeah. I can imagine.
Yo, I never told you this, but Mario told me you were Portuguese.
You can turn the mic.
Like, one of our neighbors, Mario, told me that Isaac was Portuguese, and I took one look at him. I was like, nah.
No, but like, I remember the first time I went on a bike ride in my neighborhood with my uncle Ali, And we went around. And I see like a squad deep full of kids, like eight kids all riding their bikes like behind each other. Yeah. And it was freaking, it was Ankit, Dominic, Mario, Kyle Simcock, Troy, this kid Gianni, like just a whole gang of kids, you know what I'm saying, in a neighborhood. And
all different cultures, all different religions.
All different cultures, yeah, exactly. Just like a very diverse group, you know what I'm saying? And they accepted me too, and like that was my first real group of friends growing up, like straight from the sandbox, you know?
Yeah.
But dealing with like school and everything, like people probably don't either believe it or like they don't want to hear it, but definitely coming from another culture, I did get like roasted. You know, if you want to say it like that, like got roasted, made fun of. Like, but I'm the type of person, I don't take things to heart. You know, you got to have thick skin in this world. I feel like a lot of people in this generation, I feel like are really soft, but not in like, you know, mental health or anything like that. I just, I feel like a lot of people take things to heart when they shouldn't. You know, I feel like everyone's got to have a good head on your shoulders. You got to have thick skin. You got to, you know, understand people, read people, like all that.
You guys probably both learned that too. I mean, having different nationalities like that Indian and Lebanese where you're getting... not like attacked by people, but people are being prejudiced and saying that stuff to you guys.
I mean, I think part of it is just kind of the ignorance around, like, people just didn't know, like, you know, what a Hindu was, or like what, you know, like they just didn't understand because they just weren't taught that way. And we grew up in a town that was 98-99% Caucasian, so like, I mean, there wasn't really like a legitimate need for people to understand it either, other than the fact that
that's
you
what
know,
the problem is. Like,
yeah, I think Isaac was trying to say.
I'm gonna say something really
quick. Go ahead.
So, like, back to what I was saying, how people take things to heart, you know, and everything that's going on in the world right now, you know.
Yep.
But I'm not gonna name drop anything, you know. But this definitely, like, all these comments and all this stuff that people did to me, you know, it definitely toughened me up. Like, it made me like now people, if someone wanted to, you know, come at me for being Arab or tell me a terrorist and all this stuff, like. In all honesty, like if they're just 100% racist and they don't like that I'm here, you know, I kind of just like laugh at those people. They just seem like they're just uneducated, you know. It's just like you don't have to waste your time with these kind of people.
Mm,
just
I
mind
love
your
that.
Business. You just gotta mind your business and know that they're not gonna understand your type of perspective. You know,
those type of the people that don't want to understand. Yeah. Those are the ignorant ass people.
Yeah. To bounce off what Isaac just said, you know, I mean that basically shaped kind of like my mantra. You know what I mean? Like in terms of like you know who your friends are, who you surround yourself with. You know, just you surround yourself. There's two prongs to this. So you surround yourself with people that. You know, you can learn from and people that love you. And, you know, the other people, you know, if they want to fuck around and call you names and talk behind your back, like, leave them behind. Like, there's no need for those types of people in your life. And you know, in terms of cultivating relationships with them, just kind of leave them behind. I mean, and that's something that I've struggled with, you know, because I'm the type of person that, like, tries to, like, talk to everyone, tries to, like, cultivate relationships with everybody, tries to, you know, at least in high school, like, you know, tries to, you know, have friends with everybody. And, like, I used to take it personally. Like, when someone didn't like me or when someone, like, offended me, I would take it personally. I would be like, you know, like, why is that person not clicking with me? Like, what can I do as a person to, like, make them like me more? And I just realized, like... It was a you know uphill battle. Like it was something
it's
that
a
I
them problem, not a you.
Yeah, it was something that I would never be able to do on my own. Like I can't convince someone who's racist to like not see who I am as like you know as an Indian basically. And so like you know like in terms of that, like I had to really like learn that like you know. Not everyone's gonna like you. Not everyone's gonna respect you for who you are. And so that was like tough because you know, like I ran for like things like student council and like all those different clubs and like my whole thing was like just make everyone like you. Like be the most like charismatic person you can be, and like maybe people won't see you for who you are basically. But
something
like
I've kind of come to. Into more recently too is like control what you can control.
Exactly.
You can't control someone else's perspective of you or how they view you. You can only control how you view yourself.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
That is such a self-growth thing, and it's such a huge characteristic that more people need to have, and especially now, like you need to understand, like you gotta love yourself, man. Like you 100%. Have to love yourself. 100%. If you don't love yourself, no one's gonna fucking love you. Like the way, especially the way you want to be loved too. Like I'm the type of person. I give a lot of energy. I'm all out there with my energy. I'm an all or nothing person. Like, even with my friendships, like, my career, like, any of that stuff. Like, you're going to get the best of me. Whenever called upon, you're going to get the best of me. Like, you need me in that moment, I'll be there for you. I'm one of those type of people, like, I don't like to leave people hang type shit. Yeah. Like, I want to give you the best of me when
that's
I can.
Respect, though. That's respect.
It's, it's the way I carry myself. I believe that I need to... be that voice sometimes too. And like I talked about recently, I've actually talked to the friend where they talked about they don't think the internet was a place to share stories, mm-hmm. which I disagreed with.
I disagree.
I think the internet has allowed people to share their stories more than ever before. Exactly. And I think something like this, where even we're talking about, we'll talk about women, where they can share, like, their, unfortunately, sometimes a lot of women get raped or sexually assaulted and things like that. Or we'll talk about African Americans, where they get abused by a police officer, things like, now we have a platform like such like Twitter or something like that, where people can share their stories and make a difference. Even mental health. We'll talk about mental health later, but like, people have the internet now to have a voice. And yeah, there's a lot of fucking idiots out there, for sure. There's a lot of people saying a bunch of stupid shit all the fucking time. Yeah. Like, no,
don't
no
even
cap.
Get me started. Don't even get me started.
Yeah, but Jesus. Like, the internet is a place to have a voice. And especially when you're trying to put out a good message, like I believe I'm trying to do, and like, I believe you guys are doing it with me too. Like, we're sharing stories and life perspectives that like maybe someone never listened to that from you guys.
Exactly.
Like, because like you never really get the chance to have these type of conversations. Obviously, we're friends, we play basketball, but like we've never really sat down and have a conversation like this.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things I like about Isaac. I mean, I got back from Chicago a few months ago, you know, and I'll just, you know, I'll basically just hit him up or call him like, yo, like. Because I go on like walks or runs around the neighborhood, and Isaac still, you know, me and Isaac still live in the same neighborhood, and you know, I'll just call him and be like, "Yo, like, you want to go on a walk? Like, you want to talk a little bit?" And he, you know, if he's home, he'll always like say like, "Yeah, like, I'm down. Like, I'll come by." And like, being able to talk to someone who's like been able to kind of experience the same things that I have, been able to, like, you know, he's had basically the same kind of family upbringing that I've had, being able to talk to him, it's a blessing, honestly. Like. Because, I mean, I can talk to, like, other people, but, like, I mean, all they can do really is empathize. They don't really understand about, like, what I'm actually kind of, like, going through, or, like, what actually I've kind of been through. And so, like, being able to, like, just kind of talk it out, be able to, like, just kind of, like, say what's on our mind, like, that's been, like, that's been great. Like, I'm, like, people like Isaac, like, that I have in my life, like, I'm thankful for. Honestly,
that's why, and I definitely like the fact you guys wanted to do this episode together. I think you guys really mesh really well, and you guys have a lot of similar experiences. I mean, we talked about it too, like, where you guys could talk about it, and like, I think Isaac, try to talk to me a little bit about injustices. Like, do you feel like sometimes people, like, not so much injustice, but like, they talk to you like in public, say you go out to like a restaurant or you're going out to stores, do people look at you different? Do people speak to you different? Like, I mean, do you notice that? Like, you say if you're with some of your other friends, like, do people like treat you different, especially when you're out in public?
It's like, I don't know really how to explain. It's really different. You know, it's all situational.
Yeah.
It's all situational. So like, I wouldn't say people would treat me different. You know what I'm saying? I feel like some people, because it's weird. Some people think, like, when they first see me, I'm just like a normal kid, white kid. You know what I'm saying? Just have a normal conversation. But it's like, I go to so then this is the weird thing, right? I'm going to talk about this. So I go to Lebanon, right?
Yep.
When I go travel in Lebanon, and if anyone hasn't traveled outside the country, I definitely 100% recommend traveling outside the country.
Big facts.
100%. Maybe not now because of Corona, but I've had a lot of friends that haven't traveled out the country, and I tell them, like, you need to go outside the country and get a whole different perspective about how life is, like, how people do things. You know what I'm saying? People are like, people view everything here as like, this is America. Everything we do here is normal. And then you go to a whole other country, and then they're like, oh, this is all weird. What the hell are they doing? They're kissing you. This guy is kissing another guy's cheek. What the hell's going on? It's like, dude, no. It's like, this is what's normal over here. Man. This is what's common over here. But you've been so, you look at life through one lens, you know? And you don't understand, like, this is how people live in this situation, because, like, you got it. We all got it good in America. You know what I'm saying? People don't want to say it, but, like, we got it a lot better than a lot of these Arab countries or Indian countries. China, you know what I'm saying? A lot of other messed up stuff that's going on in the world. But what was I just talking about? I just
that ass went on a rant. Doesn't even know.
You were doing good. Like,
what the?
That was really good.
Wow, that was fucking hilarious.
But like, injustice stuff. Like, I could sit here all day and say, "Oh, when I was in high school and I played football, like, all these kids would roast me when like a plane would go across the, you know, across the field. People are like, oh, like, Isaac, a plane's coming. Everybody duck. Like, what the fuck am I look like?
It was all like good and fun. I mean, for them at least, but like for me, like, again, like, I took stuff personally. Like, when people would talk about like 9/11 or like,
that's where it's good about the culture now. You fucking check those people. Like, it's harder back then because like, we're growing up in high school, such a weird dynamic, and like, you don't have maybe I definitely didn't have the self-confidence to just fucking check someone like that. But now, like, if someone says some racist-ass shit like that, it's like, no, dude, that's not... You don't fucking say that. And that's something where we could touch now is educating people. Like, check people who say stupid shit like that. You gotta check people like that. Because, like, the more that goes unchecked, the more it becomes normalized. And that shit is not fucking normal.
100%. Yeah, so Isaac and I, we were actually talking about this a couple of weeks ago. We went on a walk, like, late night. And we were talking about, like... Yeah, like we grew up. I mean, we were 3 years old when 9/11 happened. But yeah, we were like talking about like our relatives who were, you know, just kind of just entering the country, maybe like 13, 14 years old, like, you know, like entering this country at like at such like a time like 9/11. Like, I mean, I can't even imagine like the shit and the racism and discrimination that they went through, because like, I mean, at that time, like, I mean, people were going off on like anybody that looked Muslim, like anybody brown, man. They were going off at Indians, and Indians didn't have like there was no Indians even in part, like even a part of that like attack. But like, just because like they associate like that entire region to kind of be like the same. Like, I mean, I've had like a bunch of people who've like thought that I was like Arab. Like, I mean, it's just again, like, you talk about kind of, you allude to like the lack of education, like, yeah, honestly. it's a shame, but like, I mean, it's a byproduct of kind of like where we grew up and like, you know, the families that we kind of grew up in. And so, you know, I can't 100% fault people for that.
You understand.
I understand to an extent, though, because the world that we live in, we grew up with the internet, we grew up with all this like technology, like people could easily search this kind of stuff and educate themselves, and I think just people just choose not to, and it's just disappointing.
You see it changing now, especially with all the current events that are happening now. It, like, there's a lot more pressure on people to acknowledge it. Like,
it's encouraging. Like, I'm encouraged by like what's going on.
It's not even just like stuff like that. We're talking about women's rights.
Oh yeah,
gay, trans, like everyone. Everything. We're talking about everyone. Everyone deserves an equal opportunity, and especially in this country where we're supposed to pride ourselves on freedom and equal opportunity. Like, and there's not equal opportunity for people. And like, I saw something on Instagram where they talked about, say, a woman's like pictures are leaked on the internet, how she could lose her career.
Oh yeah,
but our president could literally have rape charges against him and still be our fucking president. Yeah. Like, tell me that's not fucking inequality and some bullshit right there. Yeah. And I think it's huge for men to talk about women's inequalities, because, like, women will be preaching this shit.
Exactly.
Like, come on. Like, and that's not even just women. It's talking about all ethnicities, minorities, like, different cultures. Like, everyone deserves, in the gays, bi people, trans people. Like, there's so much shit. It's, like, so aggravating as, like, someone who actually cares about human beings in general. Because, like, at the end of the day, we're all fucking human.
Exactly.
Like, we all have different pigments of our skin. Yes, but we're fucking human. We're all the same species.
We bleed
like,
the same blood.
Chilling, and it's so aggravating to see people not understand that. It's like, how ignorant can you fucking be? Like, what's going on in your fucking rock brain to not understand? Like, that person who might just look different than you, it's the same fucking thing as you. They think the same. They don't think the same thoughts, but they have like a brain that works just like yours and can process information. Exactly. Like,
people just don't. You know what it is nowadays? Like, people don't really respect other people.
Facts.
You know, and I'm a type of person is, I'll talk to anybody. I don't care what color you are. If you respect me, I'll show you the same respect back. Facts. Just as I was raised as a kid, you know, respect everybody. You know, unless somebody does me wrong, that's different. But if no one, you know, you just met the person, or no matter the color of the skin, I just be nice to everybody. Like, what's so hard about being nice
to
everybody?
That's how it's supposed
to be. You know what I'm saying? Like, and growing up, I mean, we honestly didn't have a choice. We had to, like, you know, we had to talk to whoever we could talk to. I mean, beggars can't be choosers. You know, we were out there. We were like, we're already kind of like backs up against the wall. Like, if somebody was nice to us, I mean, we had to kind of take that. You know what I mean? And that's kind of like, kind of shaped like who we are. Like, I mean, if you see Isaac or I mean, like, we're always just, I mean, we'll talk to literally anybody. I mean, it's not like, I mean, you don't have to be a certain ethnicity or anything. Like, we'll straight up talk to you and treat you like a human being. I mean, because like that's just how we were brought up. I mean, I was taught to, I mean, big thing in Indian culture is you always respect your elders. Exactly. But I mean, in reality, it's not just respect your elders, just respect everybody. I mean, you know, all our, you know, the you know, friends, fathers and mothers that we kind of grew up with, they were always called uncles and aunties, you know, because they were always kind of, you know, a big part of our lives. And that's basically a sign of endearment and respect, right? Like, you call someone an uncle or an aunt, it's almost like they're part of your family. And that wasn't even like, even if I saw, like, obviously I didn't do it when I saw Isaac's mom or dad, but basically it carries kind of out to, like, everyone. And that's basically how I was raised, you know, just being able to treat everyone with respect and kind of letting everyone kind of, you know, being able to hear out their voice and kind of understand who they are. And I think that's kind of why I've been able to, you know, connect with, you know, different, like, if you look at, like, the friends that I have, like, there's so many different personalities, like, from introvert to extrovert, like it's crazy. Like, I mean, and so, like, I think, like, my upbringing is a huge, like, reason, like, why that's the case. You know, just being able to kind of accept people for who they are and, you know, take them at, you know, what they're good at and being able to connect with them.
That's key right there. Connecting with people. I think right now it's definitely a struggle to even have a face-to-face connection because there's so much, like, with COVID and things like that, like, things are difficult right now. And, like, this is testing a lot of people to whether their relationships, their family relationships, friendships, anything. We're being tested to see how strong those actual connections are with people and how much you're willing to actually communicate with someone.
Yeah, and I mean, that's, like, part of the reason, like, when I saw your podcast, you know, for the first time, I was like, damn, he's having a one-on-one connection with people. He's, like, talking to them in person. Like, he's letting them kind of, like, air out their stories. And, like, you say that it's a therapy for you, but honestly, it's a therapy more for me and Isaac because, like, we don't have the ability to, like, talk to people in this kind of, like, setting. You know what I mean? Mm. We can have conversations with people when we ball up, when we go to parties, when we're working, to a lesser extent, when we're with our families. But, like, to have, like, a conversation with someone and being able to, like, understand their perspective and being able to tell our perspective for, you know, an hour, hour and a half, however long this podcast is going to be, like, that in itself is, like, a compelling reason why I wanted to, like, be on here and be able to talk to you about stuff. Mm. You know what I mean?
That was huge. Like, that's why I appreciate you guys for, like, even, like, for real, listening and supporting. Thanks. And like, reaching out to do this because, like, it is a scary thing. You're in front of a microphone. Yeah. Like, a lot of people are going to listen. Like, especially as people in, like, our town. Like, there's a lot of stuff to that. Like, it's a scary thing. Like, Ryan talked about it last week. He was like, oh, damn, I'm uncomfortable about this, man. Yeah. Like, he's out of his comfort zone. I'm like, for me, I'm just like, it's another fucking day in paradise, baby. Like, we here. Like,
you know what's crazy, too? Like, you ever hear how people say, like, you know, you can't let what others think of you affect, like, what you do. You know what I'm saying? You ever hear that? Like, don't care what other people think about you. But at the same time, you're like, I think that was, like, worded wrong. Or not even worded wrong. Like, I heard something my dad said. You know, like, you don't need to care what other people think about you, but those are for the people that, like, you don't, you know, that aren't going to help you, that you shouldn't care about, you know, you shouldn't care about their opinions, because you should care about, like, say, like, there's this guy, right, and he wants to do business with you, older guy, he wants to do business with you, he wants to invest in you, you know, you want to make some money, he wants you to be successful, he wants to be successful, like, that's a guy you want to try to impress, you know what I'm saying? There's a difference between, like, I feel like, impressing, like, caring what those kind of people think and then people that don't give a shit about you. Why do you care what they think?
Yeah, people, you know, bringing that negative energy towards you. Yeah. I've been big recently on, like, energy and things like that, and, like, I haven't always been putting out, like, the best possible energy on my social medias, and, like, what you put out is what you get back. I'm a firm fucking believer in that shit. Hey, man.
Perception is reality, man. I mean, that's, like, that's the biggest thing. Like, the way that, you know, people receive you, like, good or not, is, like, how they're gonna think of you, how they're gonna, like,
and you,
like,
can't control that.
If they see you in the street, like, that's how they're gonna see, that's how they're gonna perceive you, like if they think of you that way. And I mean a lot of it you can control, but some of it you can't, like. And
with this topic, I do want to steer us towards mental health, because I think mental health is, like, a huge topic, and it's super fucking important to me, and I kind of wanted to allow myself to have the opportunity to talk about this. And more recently, the last couple weeks, I've gone to therapy, and for me, it's something that took a lot of fucking courage to say, hey, I need some help. And it was a scary thing, because, like, especially as a man, we're taught to just hold it in, deal with our shit, bottle it up, man up. and to acknowledge, hey, I'm slipping a little bit. I'm not in the best state of mind. Like, I need to focus on different things and like talk to someone in a professional setting. And it's been fantastic, man. Like, the last few weeks have really like helped me. I've been working on journaling. Like, and when you do journaling, it's more thinking about what your thoughts are and putting it down. Yeah. And like, that helps me so much to kind of just get the shit that's inside of me out.
Yeah.
And that, meditating, working out, doing things I more love, understanding that I need to like clearly define what I value in life,
yeah,
clearly define what my goals are in life. And with therapy, like, I will continue to do it. I will continue to support it. And I'm getting so much value out of it. And especially as a man, especially growing up in this climate.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to ask for help. I think it is so important. Yeah. And like, I'm interested to hear you guys' perspective growing up in different backgrounds with obviously different nationalities, Indian, yeah, and Lebanese, like how mental health was even, if it was even talked about.
So this is going to kind of, it might sound kind of messed up to some people,
mm-hmm,
but like, it's just like, I see it as like normal. You know what I'm saying? I'll speak about these things, but before I even go into that, I want to say what you were saying before,
mm-hmm,
like how people say that they don't think that's like a manly thing to do to, you know, talk about your feelings or go to therapy. I honestly think that takes more, you know, to be a man.
It takes more courage.
Takes way more courage to admit like, you know what? I'm fucked up right now.
Yeah,
I need help, 100%. You know, and I need to talk to other people. You know, I think that takes more of a man to like a man thing to do. Mm-hmm. You know, other people would be like,
it makes you fucking almost tear up, bro. Like,
you know, it's
like,
real shit.
Like, dead ass.
You know what's crazy too? Like, I'm not, like, this just happened, like, a month or two ago, right? Like, I was going through some shit, you know, mentally, but, like, now, yeah, I'm obviously doing better. But I remember, it's gonna sound kind of fucked up.
Because
people, yeah, would be like, okay. No, that's something else. I didn't even tell you, but wow. I remember, like, it was one of those nights I came back from home, and I was, like, 1 or 2 o'clock at night.
Late night.
Yeah. And I was beefing with my mom a little bit, you know, I'm not gonna say why, but it was just, like, some stuff that she's not okay with. And I was, like, really, like, fucked up in the head. You know what I'm saying?
That's state of mind.
And I told my, like, well, if you told your mom, right? If you told your mom, like, you were depressed or you were sad and you were not in the mood, what do you think your mom would say to you?
She gets very worried. I mean,
she'd get really worried about you, right?
Yes, yes.
Now tell him what, yeah, your mom thought. Now tell him what your mom thought.
I'm going to tell you something. This is how, like, the Lebanese or cultural perspective. If you tell anybody that you're feeling kind of sad or, you, like, you know what I'm saying? You have anything feeling or anything mental health, if you tell a culture, like an old head basically about that stuff, they're just gonna laugh at you. They'll be like, dude, just like suck it up. Come on, man.
And that's,
you
know what not I'm saying? That's
because they're just not educated. Yeah. And you know what it is? You can't educate about them because they're so stuck in their ways that you just have to understand, like, you know what? That's just how they're gonna think no matter what. You can't change that. Don't even waste your time trying to explain it because it's gonna keep fucking you up in the head. And that's what I realized a lot with like my family growing up. A lot of stuff, like, we argued about and stuff inside the house, mm-hmm, I realized that, like, dealing with them, it's, like, it's always their way or the highway. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You can't argue. Like, I know a lot of people, like, I'm not racist either. When I say, like, white or all these people, like, white friends are, like, argue with their moms. They're, like, they're arguing with their moms left and right. And they're, like, oh, like, fuck you, mom, and all this. And, like, right? And then
Russell
nothing
Peters.
Happens. Yeah.
The Russell Peters video?
Yeah. And then nothing happens. Like,
I see the memes.
Yeah, like, people are crazy. Like, when I'm around some of my friends, yeah, they talk crazy to their moms, yeah, and dads.
Disrespectful as fuck.
Like, 100%. Like, if I said anything close to that, like, back when I was little, I'm getting 100%, like, hit. You know what I'm saying? And people are always like, oh, my God, you got hit as a kid. Like, that's so sad. Like, are you okay? Like, bro, it turned out perfectly fine. You know what I'm saying? Like,
no,
I know some people, like, got different upbringings, but you know, it made me who I am today. And, like, some people get disciplined differently.
I got disciplined the same way. You talk back, getting fucking hit. Yeah. Like, it's a fucking respect thing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I understand it. Don't, like, do that to your kids. But certain points, like, you choose how you discipline your kids. You choose all that stuff. It's backgrounds. It's culture. Like, there's certain generations that were taught that. And, like, certain cultures that were taught that. So, like, people got to understand that as well.
Yeah, no, I mean, I was just going to bring up a funny story. So.
Damn again, bro.
Yeah, this kid's been okay. So basically, you know, back in like second grade or whatever, you know, one of my friends in the neighborhood basically told his mom to, you know, F off. He was, you know, like, she asked him to, like, do the dishes, and basically just told her to F off, and she was like, okay, like, you can do it tomorrow. And yeah, I know. So I go back thinking,
I'll say, white people be tripping sometimes.
Yeah, not everyone, but some people. So I go back home that night, And, you know, my mom is like, yeah, like, so Ankit is, you know, what I go by in kind of like my circles, with, you know, everyone else outside of my family. But Ankit is my actual name.
Pronounce your full name in any way.
Ankit Kotwal. So, my mom, she goes, Ankit, like, do the dishes. And I'm like, F you, mom. Ooh. Dude, my dad comes out of the living room, and I'm not gonna go into the details of what happened, but let's just say, like, I'll never forget that night. Like, I'll never talk back to my parents. Like, that was some crazy shit. Like, I was like, I go back to my friend, I'm like, yo, how do you get away with that shit? Like, mm-hmm. like I tried that on my mom and my dad. I'm not gonna get into the details of it, but my dad laid the hammer down on me.
If you have like, an imagination, you can put two like, and two
yeah, like, you know, I was like, how do you get away with that? And she was like, yeah, my mom's so nice. Like, she's very understanding. And I was like, yo, tell me more. like don't give me any more advice on that. Like, I'm done with that. Like, I'm gonna do things my way.
It's so crazy to hear, like, different cultures' perspectives on, like, going through mental health, stuff like that. You can go around. But mental health and, like, how it's, like, accepted and, like, how it's viewed in different cultures. Like, it's so interesting. And, like,
yeah.
Talk to me, Isaac, a little bit more about growing up in, like, your culture. And, like, obviously you can't talk about your feelings that you're just talking about. And, like,
yeah.
I think you're fucking brave as fuck for coming on the podcast to talk about that, too. That. Like, and you're – we've bonded really closely, especially the last few years, definitely getting closer. And I appreciate the fact that you're – always one of those people, like, I can always have a real fucking conversation with. Like,
appreciate the man. It's always real talk, bro. I hate small talk, you know?
Dead ass.
And I always small talk every day at work with people, you know, where I go. Yep. But it's really rare when you go, like, into a deep conversation with someone and, like, talk about all this stuff, you know? So I appreciate, like, you having me on here, you know what I'm saying? I mean, Ankit, but Ankit's in the bathroom.
Yeah, right, you guys are crazy with that. But, you guys are brave as fuck for coming on a podcast, and, like, I appreciate you guys bringing an entire different perspective to the podcast that I've never had before, and, like, that is so much, it's so needed, especially at a time like now.
Yeah.
Like, it's so needed to have that different perspective of, like, where people are coming from, just, like, you're talking about nationalities, too. Like, it's a huge thing. Like, talk to me a little bit, too, obviously, with mental health, like, growing up in this town and being Lebanese, like, did you ever feel like you couldn't, like, talk to anybody, like, sometimes? Like, is there, was, like, the struggle that, like, people don't understand, like, where you're coming from with your culture and, like...
Yeah, like, it had all that, but I learned at a really young age, like, you don't gotta explain yourself to nobody,
mm-hmm.
you know? Like, I'm Lebanese, right? I'm obviously different than you. I'm not the same. Like, everybody in this kind of small town of 500, 600 people in the whole high school, like, small cliques, you know what I'm saying? Everyone's kind of the same, like... I don't know, like, I was just... I had a different perspective on, like, life and just how I view people. Because I started traveling when I was really young. So I visited Lebanon a couple of times, too. Like, I even went there by myself when I was a senior in high school.
Oh, shit.
So when you go, like, visit these other places, like, I keep going back to it. Like,
it
really does change your whole perspective on things. And people, like, don't understand that. Like, you really got to travel outside the country. Like, yeah, Florida and all that stuff is cool. But if you and your friends, right, and I guarantee, like, half of these people won't do it because... I mean, I'm not going to guarantee that, but, but, like, overall, the people that I know, they're not, you know, they're not about going to, like, Barcelona or Germany or just, like, somewhere like that, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, it's probably, like, weird. Yeah, they'll all talk about it, but, like, once you go to a whole other country like that and see the way they do things and see their perspective from things, that's what people nowadays, they don't understand. Like, they're not willing to understand people's perspectives.
Oh, dude, that
they're is so ignorant. They're
that is
so
such
ignorant.
A big thing. Like, that is part of the reason I do the podcast, too, is, like, I want to get... like, y'all's perspective on, like, your life and understand, like, a big thing for me, I was listening to, what book was it? Oh, fuck. It was 7 Habits of Successful People,
mm-hmm.
and I forget the name of the author, I'll think about it later, but one of the things was, you want to understand before you're understood.
Yep.
First, understand before you're understood.
Exactly.
And that is something that I try so fucking hard with every person that I encounter. I try to understand where they're coming from so I can understand their behaviors, their emotions, all that stuff, so I can better appropriately communicate with them.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that's very huge to me in, like, understanding, like, their mental aspect, like, what they've gone through, whether it's trauma, whether they've dealt with family stuff, like, relationship stuff, like... school stuff. You don't know what someone has gone through so until you fucking ask.
Yeah, and 100%.
That's why I love the podcast, because, like, and that's why you guys are so fucking brave. Like, I said, I was saying just to Isaac recently, like, you guys are brave as fuck for coming on the podcast and talking about these things, because people are so scared to do it.
So locked up about it.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate you saying that, but, you know, Isaac and I, we've been talking about this for, like, years. I mean, like, this is our life, man. Like, this is what we have to, like, deal with. And, like, for us, like, yeah, I mean, like, from an outside perspective, yeah, like, it seems brave and all, but, like, I mean, we're just talking about our life, like, what we kind of went through. This is a normal day, right? Like, this isn't even, like, extreme. Like, this is just kind of, like, stuff we grew up with and you know, we've been accustomed to deal with, essentially. And so, you know, you're talking about it now, like, it honestly just, it just feels like, you know, Isaac and I are in the park right now just talking about it. We're just having a normal conversation.
That's how I want, like, the podcast to flow too. I want to feel like this is a conversation we could have on and off air. Like, that's what I always say.
We could be doing this at Agawam right now. Dead ass. Could literally just be, we could be hooping right now and we could be talking about this at the same time.
Talking life, talking life stories, what we've gone through, like, how we feel, like, this is such a huge stigma with men talking about how they feel. Like, I know I have a lot of friends that don't fucking talk about how they feel. They don't like talking about their feelings.
And honestly,
like, I'll be that friend that fucking forces it. I don't give a fuck, dude. Yeah. Like, this is what I'm feeling and this is how I feel about it. Like, talk about, I say it all the fucking time. Feel your feelings.
I was just saying that earlier today to Taylor, actually. That's kind of crazy. I was talking to him because he checked up on me too. He was like, how are you doing mentally?
Yeah,
I was like, oh, that's I appreciate you asking, and I was telling him, you know, everything. And I literally said, like, you hear Jared say all the time, like, feel your feelings. You know, a lot of people don't want to do that, but it sucks. But, like, that's just how you have to do it. Like, you keep running away from it. You could smoke, drink, do whatever you want, but when you're by yourself in your bed and you're sleeping, or trying to sleep at least, and you're up all night and you're thinking about all this shit, like, you got to feel your feelings. You got to understand what the reality of it, everything is. You know, and accept it and then fucking just move on and grow.
Facts.
Instead of just sit there and just, you know, make up all these excuses about, you know, all this stuff you're blaming other people for. But at the end of the day, I don't even care if someone 99% it was their problem. What could I do to change this whole situation?
Yes, it's feeling the feelings, understanding, coping with it, and moving on.
Yeah.
You have to heal. You have to heal your wounds. You have to heal your emotions. You can't let shit build up, and that is a big problem with just, not just men and people in general. They ignore their problems. They ignore their traumas. They ignore all that stuff and try to present themselves as, like, a cold-hearted person, like, hey,
something
I don't need
not,
to.
Something they're not.
Yeah, that's
like, they just present themselves as like, I mean, you can drink, you can smoke away all your feelings, but at the end of the day, like Isaac was kind of alluding to, you come home, you know, you're in your bed, and you know your feelings are there. Like, you got to deal with them. Like, it's not, they're not running away. Like, you can drink all the Hennessy and all the liquor you want, but, like, I mean, at the end of the day, your feelings don't just disappear. Like, maybe temporarily. But, you know, I mean, they're going to be with you, and you got to learn how to deal with them. You got to learn with, you know, how to kind of move past, as Isaac was kind of saying. And, you know, that's, I mean, I'll speak personally, like, that's something, like, I didn't learn how to do, like, probably until, like, freshman or sophomore year at college. Like, you know, I dealt with, like, a ton of anxiety, and, you know, like, in high school and a little bit of college, and I thought, like, oh yeah, like, I can go drink and go, like, to parties, and, like, that stuff is gonna go away. But it doesn't go away.
Mm-mm.
And part of why I like your podcast, or love your podcast, is, like, you talk about, like, mental health. You talk about how, like, we need to normalize, like, you know, like, even, like, going to therapy, like my god, like, I mean, some people, if you tell them you're going to therapy, they'll be like, bro, like, what
they
the
start judging you. Like, you start doing, no, all like, this.
It's just how it is. Some, you know, of the first questions I got is, what's wrong and why do you need therapy?
Yeah.
That is not the right things to ask
exactly.
People. Like, there shouldn't have to be something wrong necessarily for you to ask to go to therapy. Like, that's, it drives me fucking insane.
But people aren't educated. You know what it is? People aren't educated about it. That's just how it is. You know what I'm saying? People just,
like,
I don't know.
And I'm not, I would never reveal the identities of people who've said that
to me,
but it's
not.
Like,
no.
But it's the fact that those were the first questions that I get when I say, hey, I want help, I want to go to therapy. It's like,
whereas, like, in reality, it should have been like, how can I support you? Like, how are you doing? Like, what can I do? Like, to help you out in any way. And it's the reverse. It's always like, oh, like, what's wrong with you? Like, what have you been doing? Like, bro, did you like get hooked on drugs or something? Like, I mean,
like, nothing has to actually be wrong.
Exactly.
Like, for you to go to therapy, for you to actually talk to someone who's gone to school for that stuff, an unbiased opinion on your entire life, who will tell you straight if you're fucking out of line.
Dude, like, I respect the hell out of you for going to and even for like coming on here on your own podcast and like declaring that. I mean, like, that's something that, you know, I hope can become more, you know, normalized, more mainstreamed. Like, oh, I'm going to therapy. Like, I want it to be like, you know, like, oh, I'm going to therapy. It's like, oh, I'm going to the dentist, right? Mm. Like, you need to clean your teeth. Right, you need to clean your mind, like,
dude.
Like, it should be that simple. Like, your mind is your greatest asset. Like, why shouldn't you have, you know, regular maintenance on it? Like, why is there such a stigma on, like, oh, like, you know, you're going to, like, you know, do that stuff? Like, what's wrong with you? Did you like get in an accident? Did like somebody hurt you? Like why do we even have those conversations where it like should be like, you know, like, how is it go? Like, how is therapy helping you? Like, what can I do to kind of, you know, to help you as a friend? And, you know, I again, I just respect the hell out of you for one, going, and then two, you know, actually, you know, telling your audience that you are, because I think that, you know, that helps out the people that maybe might be on the borderline, you know, people that are like, well, you know, I'm going through some shit, but I'm a man, or it doesn't even have to be a man, but like, I'm just going through some shit, and, you know, I don't know if I want to go to therapy. Like, I don't know how my friends are going to react to it. I don't know how my family's going to react to it. But like, you know, all it takes is just a conversation to like inspire people to say like, hey, like, well, maybe the thing that I thought earlier about like that, maybe that stigma really isn't true because Jared's doing it, or because Isaac's doing it, because maybe Ankit's doing it. Like that opens up a whole bunch of, like, you know, possibilities for other people. So, you know,
I appreciate the fuck out of that. That literally makes me feel so fucking good. Like, that's why I wanted to do like a couple weeks of it before I announced it. So like, I wanted to announce it, not just because like I don't give a fuck about the attention for it, mm-hmm. but it's like, I want to normalize it. Like, I want people to feel okay. Like, because it took a fucking lot. Like, I hit, because a lot of the reason why I feel like I needed to go to therapy was a lot of the traumas and things that I've dealt with in the past, I didn't really deal with. I just pushed away and thought I dealt with it, and I didn't.
Thinking they were going to go away.
Thinking that they would go away. And I drowned it out over time with just, like, whether it was alcohol, drugs, whatever it was. Like, I tried to push that shit away, and that's not how you do that. And I thought I'd passed it. And I've been put in situations recently where I realize that I have stuff I need to work on. Like, I have stuff that, like, I want to talk to someone and work through my problems and understand how to have better coping mechanisms when I encounter the anxiety, those depressive moods. Like I want to feel like I could be better in understanding my emotions, because we can all be better in doing that. Yeah. Like, there's so many ways that you can cope with your emotions, and hearing it from someone who's a licensed therapist and mm-hmm. who does it for a living, who gives you that unbiased opinion that keeps you accountable.
Yeah.
That is so important, especially for me. I'm a person that loves accountability. I love football. I love the dedication. I love the grind. Mm-hmm. So have someone there just like, Jared, did your weekly assignment that I had for you? Are you doing the journaling? Like, asking me those questions, asking me how I felt during the week. Practice. And like, it's so important to me. And like, I'm already seeing the positive results from doing just a few weeks of it. Like, and that is so important to me. And I hope people, hopefully they listen to this whole thing and hear this stuff and like, oh, he's doing it. Maybe I could consider doing it. Because like, you don't have to have something wrong to go to therapy.
Yeah.
That's just a fact.
Oh.
Honestly.
You don't need that. So I appreciate that. And I appreciate the kind words that you guys are saying and like talking about mental health with me. Like, this has been a fucking crazy episode. This has been honestly one of like the top episodes like I've ever done. Like, I'm being straight up honest. Because like, I was telling Isaac before, like, the fact of just, I've never had people come on with like the different like upbringing that you guys had, the different nationalities, like that different perspective. Yeah. Like, you don't usually hear that sometimes. Like, you don't hear it enough. And to hear it from you guys on the same episode, that's crazy. Like, to me, that's amazing. And like, I'm proud of you guys for like reaching out to me. And like, that's my favorite thing, is when people reach out and want to be in the podcast. That's such a cool feeling. Like, yeah. Like you guys don't, like most people who listen to don't even realize how, like, how cool that is. It's like people want to come on and talk about themselves and talk about their lives, yeah, and share their stories. Cause like you guys opening up about everything that you've gone through, you don't know who that's going to affect and who that's going to like
exactly
allow to come on the podcast and open up.
Yeah. And part of that reason, I mean, like, yeah, I mean, it's been great, like being able to like share our experience as well. But like, I mean, to be honest, like I haven't seen you in like maybe a year or two, like, yeah, since we started balling. So I was like, I mean, like, not only am I going to be able to, like, talk with Isaac and be able to share experiences, but, like, I'm also going to be able to, like, talk with you, be able to see you, be able to, like, hear what you're doing. And, like, that's, I mean, that's great. I mean, like, it kind of brings everything kind of, like, full circle. And, you know, we didn't get to ball last summer because I was in New York. So, like, you know, I think it's probably been more than a year. But, yeah, you know, just... like you've definitely been like one of the realest dudes, like outside of like my grade, right? Like, I mean, obviously I have like my friends in my grade and Isaac's grade, but like outside of that, like I'd say like you're definitely like one of the realest ones, because like in terms of like we haven't seen each other in a year or two, and I like literally just hit you up, like I'm like, hey, like your podcast is doing great, like, and then we just started talking, and then we're like, well, you know, me and Isaac want to be on the podcast, like, is that something that's possible? And you didn't even hesitate, you just said like, hell yeah, like let's make it happen. And I mean, that I already kind of knew you were gonna say that, but that just kind of validated the fact that I, you know, the opinion I had of you.
Yeah.
And so yeah, like I mean, it's definitely been great, like.
Kinda. So people know I'm fucking cheesing from fucking ear to ear, dude. Like, that makes me feel so good. Like, I appreciate the fuck out of you guys. Like, yeah, dead,
I
mean, ass.
Like, I don't know. Like, obviously, like, you know, we weren't in the same grades. We probably didn't have a lot of the same experiences in high school or whatever. But, I mean, that doesn't even matter. Like, as long as, you know, you have some type of impact on the people that are around you, like, that's all that matters, really. Some kind of positive impact.
That's what it's all about, is that positive impact.
And I, like, I don't remember, you know, a ton from high school, but I remember, like, the people who were good to me, like, the people that, like, I respect. And you're definitely, like, high up on that list, like, for sure. So, like, come on here and talk to you about stuff. Just, you know, be in your house and, like, you know, talk to you about this, you know, mental health and everything that's been going on. I mean, that's... that was a pretty cool thing. You know, just got done with work like an hour ago, and now I'm talking about, you know, all this stuff with Isaac. So that's also pretty cool.
Yeah.
So
it's been a fucking great podcast too. Like, is there anything you guys, because we can keep going, but like, is there anything specifically you guys wanted to like keep talking about before we get closer to wrapping up? It's up to you guys, because I can let this go for like 15, 20 more minutes. Like, I don't give a fuck. Like, it's up to you, because I have a question. We can end it, because like we are past like a point, so yeah. Like, it's up to you guys. We're getting closer. I know you guys got stuff that you got to do, yeah, too.
I don't know what else. Like, let me think.
Is there anything that you specifically wanted to say on the podcast while you're here before we wrap up?
If I have to say, all right, I didn't think about that, but you know what? I'm gonna hit you with one thing I saw.
Okay.
Right.
Some bullshit, Isaac. I'm gonna be pissed.
No, right? It's some spiritual, it's some wise stuff, right? Okay. Here. All right. The people that are depressed, they live in the past. Mm-hmm. And the people that are anxious live in the future. Yep. And the people that are at peace live in the present.
Facts.
So just take it day by that. Day. Damn. You know, folk, okay. Just keep PMA, positive mental attitude. PMA. Stay optimistic. You know, you think positive thoughts, you know. Mm. I've been through some, everybody goes through their own shit. Everybody goes through their own adversity, but it's how you persevere through your own adversity. It's how you fight, you know. Everyone's got their own fight, but
I love that.
That's all I got.
Honestly, you know, I love that.
Damn, Isaac, that was a quote right there.
Wasn't expecting that.
That was a deep shit right there. Yeah, that's a deep shit. I mean, yeah, I mean, that's just how Isaac and I were raised. I mean, like, we can't afford to live in the past or the future. You just gotta, like, you know, one step at a time, one day at a time. You can't dwell on what you did, what you fucked up in the past. You can't, you know, kind of look too ahead in the future. You gotta stay grounded, stay humble, and you know, just focus on what's right ahead of you in the present day, honestly. And that honestly saves you a whole lot of shit in terms of like your mental health, because I remember I would look so far into the future, and I'd be like, I gotta do this, like, I gotta, like, get this degree, or I gotta live here in, like, 7 years, and I was like, why am I doing that? Like, I don't even know for sure if I even want to live there in, like, 7 years, if I want to have that job in 7 years, like, that's not even, like, worth, like, looking at, and, like, part, like, so, and I alluded to this in the beginning, but I was doing securities trading and investment management at Goldman Sachs for 2 years, and honestly, like, securities was fine. Like, I was only working like 50-60 hours, like, that was chill. But then I went to the New York office, I was working like 70-80 hours, and like, if I got like a full-time role, like, I would have been working like 90-100 hours. It was like, why am I gonna do that? Like, yeah, like, I'll get paid like a ton, but like, is that like worth it in terms of like my mental health? Like, I'm gonna be going like crazy for the next like probably like 5 to 10 years. And like, is it really worth like having like a shit ton of money in your bank account if you can't even enjoy it in terms of like your mental health? Like, if you're in like such a shitty position, like, that's like that's why like there's a lot of like rich people who like don't feel good about themselves and have like shitty lives, because they've beaten themselves up so hard and they haven't prioritized. Not saying that if you have money you don't feel happy, but I'm saying like
there's a cap to that.
People that sacrifice like relationships.
No, I think it's like there's like a psychological study where I think if you make once you make
75K, something like 75K.
Yeah, like 75K. Yeah. I read that. I was talking about this with my therapist. Like, once you hit the certain threshold,
then money doesn't affect anything.
Yeah, you could buy the nicer shit and buy, because I actually literally this week, this kind of discussion we had and like talking about this stuff and like values, and like after a certain point, like I've already come to that realization. Like, I make pretty good money, I have a good career, and like, it doesn't.
You fulfill your basic needs, basically, yes, and then after that, it's like you have, you know, disposable money. You chill with your friends, like, you go out, you go on a nice vacation.
You realize that you money go out isn't for, everything.
Exactly.
Yes, and it makes it easier. I get it, and it makes paying bills easier and the stresses of life, and you can buy the fucking Yeezys and the bullshit and the Teslas. Like, I get it. Materialist stuff is cool to have and all that shit. But money isn't everything.
Of course. And that's kind of like what I had to like realize, like, you know, like, is it really worth like what, you know, like in terms of what I want to do? Like, I'm a person that like wants to spend a ton of time with their friends, wants to go on vacations, wants to do a lot of shit like outside of work. And if I don't have that time to do it, is it really worth like doing that job and accumulating that income when I can't really enjoy like the stuff that I want to enjoy? And so like that's part of the reason why like I moved out of, you know, that role at Goldman. I moved out to, you know, this consulting role that I'm at now, at the startup in Chicago that I'm working at, you know, because I get to kind of do the things that I love. Like, in terms of consulting, I get to talk to people, I get to kind of solve, you know, their kind of accounting and finance needs, while also kind of having that kind of like personal interaction. So I'm not, you know, because for me at least, like, I didn't want a role where I was just kind of, you know, just doing like spreadsheets. Like, I wanted to be able to kind of like have that interaction with other people, you know. So have like that analytical and like interface kind of relationship with them. But, you know, aside from that, also being able to, you know, have like a strong work-life balance was like clutch, and having the opportunity to like work even remotely in like a couple years, like after, you know, I have enough experience, like that was like a real, you know, big selling point for me. And that's kind of part of the reason why I moved out. But, you know, I think you have to really go through it, right? Like, you have to go through certain experiences to understand what you really want. So, you know, like, in terms of like what I went through, so I went in as a computer science major. I started off at WPI, and then I transferred to Northeastern for finance, because I was like, I mean, my family wanted me to do computer science because they were like, they were looking out for me, right? Like, they were like, this is the major that'll have kind of the greatest opportunity for you to have the most stability, the most income, like all of that stuff. But I didn't like it. And I always had like a passion for finance. I always had a passion for like investing. And I was like, why don't I just do that? And I kept like computer science as a minor, just because, like, you know, I do think it's important to have like certain technical skills. But I switched to a different school, didn't know anybody. I was scared as fuck, but I'm so glad that I made that jump, that I made that kind of, you know, that risk, or that, you know,
out of your comfort zone.
Yeah, exactly. I got out of my comfort zone. I went to a completely different school. You know, I did pretty much exactly the opposite of what my guidance counselor told me to do. And I was like, you know, I really like this. I think this could be good for me. I don't necessarily need to be like an investment banker, but you know, if I try that out and I don't like it, at least I know what I don't like. And then I can kind of move on to, you know, the career that I will like. And so like, you know, for anyone listening on the podcast, you know, just don't, you know, don't be afraid to get out of your comfort zone, you know, try new things, like don't be afraid to kind of to fail, honestly. And that's, you know, a lot of people were like, oh dude, you're switching out of engineering, like what's going on, like you were the salutatorian of our class, like what's going on, like are you struggling, like again, this goes back to mental health, like, oh, like are you depressed, like I was like, what bro, like I'm not depressed, like stop it with that shit, like that's not why I'm transferring because like I don't like the topics that I'm learning right now. Like, and I mean, I'm just glad, like I talked to Isaac about this too, like, you know, being able to like kind of find what you love, and like Isaac and I are still trying to figure that out too. Like it's not set in stone or anything like that. It's a lifelong thing. Like you may never, so here's the thing. You have to be willing to accept the fact that you may never like find the thing that you love, but the journey is the destination.
Facts.
Like
100%. It's a process.
Like
it's the process.
It's all about the process. Yeah. I think a lot of people struggle with that. I think a lot of people struggle with finding, I think what people need to more kind of switch to versus finding what they love is kind of finding what's your purpose in this life. What are you trying to do to make this place better than what you found it? Like,
you know what's crazy too? Like, I don't know if you guys agree with this, you know, but I saw something too that it's like, what was it? It was like, life isn't about finding yourself, but it's about creating yourself.
I like that.
And I understand that from like both perspectives too, you know what I'm saying? Because I feel like life is too like, maybe like finding who you are and stuff like that, but too.
It's kind of both.
But you can't just sit back and then wait for things to happen, you know? Mm-hmm. And you're going to miss opportunities left and right. Like, you got to take action and go do it.
Yes. You got to be patient to understand that things don't happen right away, but you have to be willing to go and pursue those things too, because they're not just going to always come to you. Yeah. I think that's kind of the purpose of that quote, and I definitely, I like that a lot. So, this has been a fantastic conversation. This has been fucking awesome.
For real.
Before I wrap up, I'll allow both you guys to answer this question. My question is always the same to everyone. What would your advice be to someone who's pursuing their passion? Ankit, you can go first.
Yeah. I mean, like in terms of pursuing your passion, you know, I would always say, you know, go for it, but with a caveat, like understand what your passion is. So like people will be like, yo, like my passion is like hiking mountains. And I'll be like, well, why do you like hiking mountains? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like understand, you know, what your passion is, why you enjoy it. And then if you can understand, you know, fully like why, you know, you want to follow your passion, just go 100% into it. Like, you know, ignore like what other people might be saying, like in terms of like, oh, like you're taking a huge career risk. Like, why are you like, in terms of like, you could have like, I mean, this could be like, this applies more to me and you, Jared, but like, let's say like we both wanted to like quit our jobs today and we wanted to pursue a YouTube career, right? Like, let's say that was like our passion. Like, don't listen to like anybody who says like, oh, like you're making a huge career risk. Like you're kind of sacrificing a stable life for, you know, something that you could bust in maybe like a year or two. Like, because if that's your passion, like that's ultimately like what it's about. Like, you know, if you're not kind of like striving for that, then you know, it's really not just, it's not worth, you know, like whatever you're doing right now. And you know, obviously like you need to understand what your passion is. So like if you're like halfway on something, if you're like, well, I kind of like this, I wouldn't recommend like just leaving what you have, like dropping out of school or leaving your job, like me and you, Jared, like doing that. Like, but like if you're 100% committed, you've thought it over, you have a plan for what you're going to do, like why not? Like just go for it. Like don't hesitate, don't do anything. And you know, I'm still searching for like, you know, like what my, I mean, I guess what my passion is, what I mean, I like what I'm doing right now. You know, I don't know if that's a passion. I guess I'll find out. I guess, you know, like I said, like the journey is a destination, right? Like you're still, I'm still trying to, I'm 22 years old. I'm still trying to figure out stuff. I graduated like 6 months ago. So like, obviously I don't know like what my passion is right now, but if you're set in stone on something and you know that that's what's going to make you happy, then just go for it.
Love that. And just give some stuff off that. I'm 24 and I'm still figuring it out, bro. Yeah, like it's a constant thing. And like, I found the podcast just by continuing to look into myself, and like, everyone comes into their own. Like, you never know what pops into your head and what leads you to the next thing. But yeah. Isaac, you can go ahead now.
It's quite the pursuit. Oh yeah. Pursue your passion.
Yes.
All right. I mean, to be honest, I could like sit here all day and tell you to do this, do that, you know, but it comes a point in someone's life in their timeline where they're tired of their own shit, you know what I'm saying? Yes. And they want to just fucking go, you find something that you like and just go 100% and do it, you know? Because like, I don't know who's listening to the podcast, if you lost people in your lives that's close to you, but the only thing that you're promised in life is death, you know? So you could die today, you could die tomorrow, you could die next week, and people could look at that like, oh, like, what, I could die tomorrow, like, what, you know, they're all like, and they're in their fields, like, they're thinking, they're down on themselves, but you can't think like that, you know what I'm saying? You gotta stay positive, like I said, you gotta stay optimistic, you gotta keep moving forward. Even if you could die right now or die today, you gotta keep moving forward and live every day like your last, you know? And stay positive. I cannot emphasize that enough. And a life mentor, coach, growing up, the best coach probably out of my whole life was Coach Darian Slaughter, you know, and that guy taught me a lot about life and a lot about, you know, mental health too. Always staying positive. Like, don't get down on yourself. Because I was the type of kid that always get down on myself after a missed shot or a turnover, you know. And the sports brought that out of me. And he really tried to, like, you know, help me out on that. And I respect him for that 100%. But, you know, you find something that you love, like, just go do it, dude. You got one life, you know. People say every day to you, you got one life, you know. Like, you can't take this stuff for granted.
No.
Straight up. You just got to just take in every moment, be happy, you know, do stuff that you love to do, you know, because everything in life is a choice. That's what it is, straight up. It's either an easy choice or a hard choice, you know, but everybody...
But nobody forces you
to do anything. Everyone's got a choice, you know what I'm saying? Like, like doing this, like going out, leaving the country, living in like Lebanon for 2 years. Like, I could do it if I want.
Even going to college, that's a choice.
Yeah, like I didn't want...
You could choose to...
Choosing to be happy. Exactly. You can choose to be happy every day you wake up.
Exactly.
And I've started something recently, positive affirmations. I say 5 things a day that makes me feel positive, bro.
You know what's kind of crazy that you said that?
What?
I saw something to it. It's like, you ever see the 3 week... It's like a... What was it? It's like something 30 over 90 or something like that. It's like 3 weeks over 90 days or something like that. Like 3 weeks to build a habit, 90 days to build a lifestyle or something like that.
Yeah. I don't know if that's the correct...
So,
the
yeah,
correct
it's not the right numbers.
But I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying.
So people probably think it's corny too. Like,
no.
I'm saying this, but I don't care. Because you know what? It's helping me.
See, what I agree with that is like if... Sometimes the message is not for you.
Yeah,
not every message that you say is for someone. So if you don't like it, fucking move on, bro.
And like one thing I definitely should tell people is like, you know... Congratulate yourself, you know, if you did something, like, not, you're going to go into life and, like, in sports, like, you say, if I did something good, I'd have my teammates and my coaches congratulating me, you know, good job, Isaac, you did this, you did that, you know, but when you grow up in life and you're by yourself, there's no one congratulating you, it's just you, you know what I'm saying, you wake up and you sleep, it's just you, so, like, I just lost what I was.
Nah, you're good. Hey, you got anything before I wrap it up?
Yeah, I mean, kind of like what Isaac was saying, like the message is not necessarily tailored for you. Think of it as like an advertisement, right? Like a Ford truck commercial or a Miller Lite commercial. The audience, it may not be the entire general population of the U.S. It's got a very tailored audience, right? And so like that's the same thing with like what Isaac was talking about, like these like, you know, these social media messages, they're not for everyone. It's just it's for certain people who are it's a target audience. It's for people who are ready to kind of take on that challenge and they're ready to encounter that part of their life. And like, I mean, even like this podcast, like not everyone is ready to like open up about themselves and talk about, you know, their lives and what's going on and all of that with like Jared right now, but that's okay. Like that's just like where they are and like their point of their lives, and that's fine. Like, and, you know, eventually they'll figure out like what they're, you know, what they kind of need to do to be able to be more comfortable with themselves and be able to open up. But like the fact that they're not ready right now, like that's okay. And we have to like, yeah. we have to be, oh, like as a friend, like, I mean, I have friends who are not okay with, like, they would never imagine being on this podcast right now because they could never, one thing, they could never imagine talking for like an hour and a half.
We're cruising. This is hands down the longest podcast. You guys have cracked that.
Number two, they can never be so personal and they can never open up. But like, you know, like with you, like I've been listening to your podcast before and I know that you're not judgmental, that you're, you know, super accepting of like different perspectives. And that's why, like, I was okay. And that's why, like, I hit up Isaac. I was like, we got to do this because there's probably people on this podcast that have never heard our message before and they're never going to get it unless we go on there. And so, like, as much as this was like fun for me and Isaac, it's also supposed to be somewhat as an educational message for, you know, anyone that's listening to this podcast, anyone that, you know, may not have gotten this kind of experience, may not know Isaac or I personally, and just kind of, you know, needs kind of that education.
That was a perfect way to end the podcast.
That's my closing.
Love that. Like, hands down, one of the longest podcasts, but I knew going into this it was going to be because there was a lot of stuff that we needed to talk about and get out there. Yeah. And I just appreciate you guys for being open enough to tell me all this stuff and come on the podcast. Respect the fuck out of you guys, and I appreciate it.
Respect, man. Thank you, Jared.
Thank you. I'll give my little spiel now. So if you guys like the podcast, please rate, review, share the podcast to your friends. If you want to talk to me or talk to the guys, feel free to reach out to me. I'll connect to you. If you have a problem with the podcast or problem with something I said or like what I said, let me know. My DMs are always open. You guys know that. Find it at thecarolconnection.simplecast.com or Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all the major stuff. But until next time, guys, bye.